Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today is going to be a show about a topic you don't hear discussed often in media. What would that be? Poetry. Now, I know those of you who are regular listeners have heard me recite poetry about different things through the years of the programming. But today we have a guest, Kim Rosen, and her background is very dedicated to this, and her book is called Saved by a Poem. Kim, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you, Donna. Thank you.
Now, you really believe that poetry has its own special magic, that it creates an environment for the imagination, for the very soul, that enables sometimes people to touch within themselves maybe hidden parts that they were afraid if it saw the light of day they would be hurt, or it dredges up emotions. There's so much with poetry that is absolutely phenomenal, and I really wish that we had more of it available, but I want my listeners to know about you. You're an award-winning poet. You are called a spoken word artist. You're a healer, and you say you're a teacher of self-inquiry. You have done CDs regarding poetry and music. You do public appearances. You did a workshop, I believe, from a crypt of a, what is it,
Chartres Cathedral, the very famous cathedral in France. that was a great privilege.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to hear a little bit more about that, but you're a graduate of Yale University. You also have an MFA in poetry from the Sarah Lawrence College, and you've been on the faculty of Wisdom University, the Omega Institute, and Kripalu. And you just have this fascinating world that has evolved through the love of poetry, and you need to tell my audience why poetry has been so significant in your life and why it creates such a fire of passion within you.
That's a wonderful question. Well, you said that poetry can speak to those parts of us that are not often spoken to, can magnetize them to the surface. And I think of poetry as the language of life below the surface of our lives. So often people's experience of poetry, if they're not daily poetry lovers, is that they go to a funeral and they hear a poem that deeply touches them, or they go to a christening, or they go to a wedding. You know, these moments in our lives that are moments of deep passage where there just isn't time for the surface social, superficial conversations. Poetry is like a plumb line down into the depths of being. Now, this isn't true of all poetry, and I myself was very turned off poetry for many, many years, and I certainly know that I'm not alone. As all children, I think I was born into a world of poetry. All children are surrounded by poetry when they are born. Even children that I've met, babies in Kenya, are rocked to rhyming poems. And we all heard Little Miss Muffet sits on a tuffet eating her curds and whey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spent our childhoods immersed in poetry. And I, for one, as soon as I could hold a pen, I started writing poetry because that's what had been surrounding me. But when I got to high school, oh boy, you know, I discovered what turned out luckily to be wrong, but I quote-unquote discovered that poetry wasn't this magical world that I thought I was a part of. It was iambic pentameters and dactylic tetrameters and all sorts of poems that I totally couldn't relate to at all. Now I could, but certainly not when I was 13. It wasn't what I was about. And I gave it up. I thought it was this language that belonged to a certain in-crowd that I wasn't a part of. And I turned my attention to psychology and consciousness and studied and became a teacher of several wonderful schools of psychotherapy and spirituality until in 1994, I hit a depression in myself due to certain things that were going on in my life. Both my parents suddenly became very sick at the same time, and I hit a despair from which I could not crawl out, and all the teachings about spirituality and psychology, wonderful though they were, not one of them could touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And just very briefly, I was cleaning my house, which is what I do when I'm really depressed, is I clean.
Isn't it amazing how efficient we can become?
Yeah, well, you know, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you feel like you've accomplished something at least for a few minutes afterwards. You know, so my friends, when they come into my house and it's really clean, they go, "Are you okay?"
Oh, it's bitter again.
Exactly. It's good to have people who know you well. I was cleaning. I found this old dusty cassette tape under a radiator. You remember those? And I mm-hmm. blew off the dust and I threw it in the tape recorder. I kept cleaning, and this man's voice speaking poetry filled my house. And he was speaking poems that were not like any poems I had been introduced to in high school or college, or even through like the New Yorker magazine or anything like that. These were poems that spoke the truth of the inner life. They were mm-hmm. mystical poems, but not just mystical poems. They were poems that spoke in the way only poetry can to what happens in consciousness. And I just stopped cleaning, and I lay down on the couch, and I cried, and I finally sleuthed out through great detective work that this was a man named David White, who now is quite well known as a poet and teacher, but in those days wasn't. So I looked him up in the phone book, called him up, and he picked up the phone, mm-hmm. which would never happen these days. And we became friends, and I decided to do what he had done, which was learn many, many poems by heart. Only I thought I was going to memorize them. And as I started to memorize them, something extraordinary happened, which was that healing at a level that I never expected began to occur within me. As I spoke these poems over and over, it turned out I wasn't memorizing them. The phrase is learning them by heart, but I never realized how graphically true that phrase is, mm-hmm. that your whole physiology really is shifted by a poem. Your biorhythms are entrained by a poem. Your breath changes. The pulses within your blood and cerebrospinal fluid change, and all of this changes the brain wavelengths. So that what happens is that the brain becomes more, the word, that scientific word is plastic. The brain opens its tight, little rat cages of thought, and these cells unlock, and other forms of insight can arise really from within you as you speak this poem, as you read it, as you hear it. I call it the shamanic anatomy of a poem, because it works very much with some of the medicines that shamanism work with, which is rhythm and breath and pulsation. So I got saved, really, mm-hmm. by these poems, which were not religious in any way, but were deeply, deeply opening me to that in myself that went beyond the despair I was trapped in.
You have a lovely poem by Rumi that I'm going to share with my audience. And the words, I find poetry, there is a dance and a motion that occurs that's very flowing. If you've ever seen a scarf blow in the wind and it undulates, there is that magic about poetry. and the words create pictures in the mind that allow you to set yourself free, I believe, from what maybe you found yourself suffocating in. And it is a great way to shift. And everything you have said regarding how it affects the brain and the heart, it is wonderful. I love to feel in a room when someone is reading, and when they're reading the poetry. And there's a difference when someone is just going, da, 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 da. When it comes from the heart, when they are resonating with the words and expressing through their tonalities with the words, you're transported.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Aladdin's magic carpet into a realm that is all yours. Nobody else is entering in there but your realm that you are withdrawing into because of its safety, its comfort, and whatever gifts that it's going to share with you. This one by Rumi, sometimes you hear a voice through the door calling you, as fish out of the water hear the waves or a hunting falcon hears the drums. Come back. This turning toward what you deeply love saves you. There's such a picture in those few words, and it's in the section of your book that you titled Invitation. When you're talking about the calling of the soul, that is something that nobody can measure. It doesn't have any aspect to it that can be put into a box. And so many times we get so busy in life that we forget that this essence of ourselves needs nourishment. It needs to be allowed to breathe. It's our essence.
Yes.
Our human spark. It is that is available to us. When you put this book together, because you cover so many fascinating areas in this book, Saved by a Poem, and we're going to share some of that, what did you find that it had to create itself, or did you actually have your outline already figured out in advance?
Well, what a great question. I did have my outline figured out in advance, but it's not what actually happened.
I love that. I love to hear that from writers. I'm trying to be so efficient. I followed rule 455 in the how-to book.
Right.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work. No, I had a whole other idea of what the book was going to be about and how it was going to be structured. And it was good to have that as a framework to kind of actually disintegrate while the book happened the way it had intended to happen. You know, and actually did, of course, have the essence of what I had hoped it would have, which is this map that became clear to me of how a poem can heal your life, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think the book does do that, but it certainly doesn't do it in the way or the order that I was expecting.
Well, that is very true. Let's talk about another culture for a moment. And I'm bouncing around in your book here, but I found it so amazing, and I can empathize with this because I was very much involved in Middle Eastern culture for a while, but you talk in your book, and I'm trying to figure out, I've made notations here, about the yoga of poetry.
Yes.
And let's touch on that for a while, because poetry goes back, my goodness. It's oral tradition. We don't know when it began. It was passed along by word of mouth and, just like you said, memorizing it so that it could be passed along. And then, of course, when the written word developed, then we were able to put that in place. But let's address the yoga aspect.
Well, when I use that term in the book, what I'm speaking of specifically is how a poem that you love reflects to you something that you that is precious to you. That's no doubt why you love it. And at the same time, it also calls you beyond yourself, so that if you develop a relationship with it, as opposed to reading it, enjoying it, and turning the page, but develop a relationship with it. Maybe you read it over and over the way you might read a prayer, or listen to a song. Maybe you decide you want to learn it by heart, or maybe whether or not you decide to learn it by heart, maybe you want to read it to your friends, or read it at gatherings, or read it at holy moments that need holiness.
Mm-hmm.
and you begin to develop your relationship to this poem, often the poem will reveal to you not only what you knew you loved about the poem, but ways in which it's stretching you beyond your habitual self. And that's what I call the yoga of poetry. Using the metaphor of a yogic pose, and the word yoga is such a beautiful word, it means yoking, the way an ox is yoked to a cart. And in this case, it means yoking to something higher, to a higher ideal, to what matters most to us. So when you do a yoga pose, it brings your body and your breath into places and positions that may feel like a stretch at first, that maybe you didn't even think you'd ever be able to do. But there you are. And the same is true of a poem. If you love a poem, that poem that you spoke, that you just read, sometimes you hear a voice calling you, like fish out of water hear the waves. You know, the poem will call you truly back to yourself, but often that feels like a stretch. There will be something about the voice of the poem that speaks with more authority and wisdom than maybe is in the mask that you wear every day, and so it's going to stretch you into your power in a certain way. Or maybe there's something about the content of the poem that brings up a feeling that you don't usually allow yourself to have, whether it's joy. Some of us don't let ourselves fully feel our joy, or grief, or indignance. A poem, you know, a poem by Sylvia Plath about her anger at her father. You do not do any more black shoe. Maybe you're someone who doesn't let that kind of anger into your voice. And so the stretch, the yogic stretch for you will be to allow your body its full range of feeling and expression that most of us have curtailed and quarantined to a pretty narrow spectrum by the time we grow up.
That's very true. That's very true. And that's where I think poetry can be very liberating. There is a story in your book called The Hidden Tape Recorder that I just love. You've got to share it with my audience. And it just is so poignant because so many people have members of their family that are going through a situation like this. And I just think it's a beautiful story to share. Would you share that?
I would. You know, the story, I begin by talking about a story by the wonderful, wonderful writer Tilly Olson. It's a short story about a woman who is dying of cancer and her relationship with her husband of many years. And as she goes more and more into the experience of dying of cancer, she, in some ways, she becomes more and more herself. She becomes feisty, and she won't put up with the things that she put up for, I forget how many years they'd been married, but well over 5 decades, certainly. And then she begins to lose her mind, and her husband misses her very much. And what starts to come out of her, even though she is not communicating the simplest of things anymore with words, what starts to come out of her is reams and reams of poetry and speeches and prose that her husband had no idea that she knew by heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And I love this story particularly, and the husband talks in a quote that I quote in the book. He says he's indignant. He says, "How could you have had all this going on and I never knew? Why did you never tell me about this hidden tape recorder inside you?" And it made me remember when my own grandmother was dying. She was 99. And she was a very bright woman until the end, and then dementia set in. And all she would repeat over and over was the most profound poem of all, which goes like this. I'm sure you know it. "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream."
And you were there when she was singing it, obviously.
Yes.
That's why you're able to write about it. And you said to her, it's true, isn't it, Nana? And she squeezed your hand. So
yes.
She was cognizant. She knew. And she was giving a message.
Yes.
Right
yes.
there. And
yes.
poetry can do that. It's just absolutely marvelous. Let's talk about history a little bit. The Greeks loved poetry, but they believed, according to what you've written here, memory actually resides in the physical heart along
mm-hmm.
with intelligence and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people would agree with that even today.
So
learning by heart is a wonderful phrase to be able to share with a young person when you want to introduce them, or anyone when you want to introduce them to poetry, and say, memorize something. You know, there's a lot of people that love the 23rd Psalm. There are people
mm-hmm.
that have certain things that have resonated with them on one level or another. And when they can carry that, it really can get them through some very special moments in their life, good, bad, or indifferent. And you say here, the art of memory was seen as a sacred endeavor until at least the late 16th century. And who is it in 1550 that originated what is called the art of memory?
Ah, you're asking me a hard question, which I cannot
is it Simonides? I don't know exactly how to...
Simonides.
Simonides, there we go.
The name.
That's it.
Yes, Simonides of... I think it's Simonides of Athens, but I could be wrong. Who
is it? Chios or Chios?
Yes, you've got it there in the book. Yes, you can see I have a great memory for poems. I have more than 120 poems by heart. But tell me your name, and I have to admit that you will see my face go red.
Join the millions of people to go through the same thing.
Yes, well, there is that chapter in my book, which I always like to remind people is handy whether or not you ever want to learn a poem by heart. It's called The Gift of Forgetting, and it really is about certain wonderful and heart-opening and mind-opening practices that we can do when we meet those inevitable moments of forgetting.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, really good. Now, here we are with this information about history. You've got so many things. The culture, the Middle Eastern culture,
mm-hmm.
The Turks and others, they really cherish poetry. And in your book, you have a commentary about a television show, and I don't recall the country. Was it Iran? Or where was it?
Well, it's a television show in the Middle East. I think it's sourced in Abu Dhabi, but it's broadcast in many, many countries in the Middle East. And it's called The Millions Poet. And you can go on YouTube, actually, and just type in The Millions Poet, and you'll get to see these people. And what it is it's bigger in the Middle East than American Idol is, where we are.
Mm-hmm. And I found that just amazing. But this is a part of their culture. It's a beautiful part of the culture in the Middle East. So tell us more about this. And what actually, I mean, there is actually no division here or prejudiced or biased regarding poetry. Anybody from anywhere can contribute to this. And look at all these ridiculous wars we're waging. And there's a television show that says, hey, folks, we can get along. We don't need this. Let's read poetry. Maybe we need to pass that along to some people that are running some of these countries, including our own.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about this show that is very special.
Well, it's a beautiful show because, as you said, it invites everyone, as American Idol does, to come and recite poetry. Some people will be reciting poems they've written, and some people will be reciting poems, ancient poems or modern poems written by other people. And the culture in the Middle East, in Iraq and Iran and in Abu Dhabi and other cultures there, is not unlike most cultures outside of the United States, which is very important to say. We are so surprised that there could be an entire television channel devoted to poetry,
mm-hmm.
and that the most popular show in the Middle East might be a show about poetry. The very fact of our surprise to me, represents the tragedy that's occurred in the American culture in relation to poetry, which has not occurred in many other cultures. You can go to Ireland or Africa or the Middle East or Latin America, and you see that poetry is absolutely as essential as music or breath or art or architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows some poems by heart. Everybody recites poems as part of daily conversation. And this poetry show, The Millionth Poet, they bring poets in from very, very poor Bedouin tribes, some people who cannot read or write. Yet these people are grown up and naturally learn by heart dozens and dozens and dozens of poems because their minds are used to that kind of interaction with poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently dwarfed the news and sports, this poetry program in the Middle
East. I'm in favor of that one.
Just think of the fact
that they have people on the show that are not literate by our standards, yet have learned this poetry, and in their cultural background, I mean, you look at Khalil Gibran, and
mm-hmm.
there are so many other magnificent poets, that this was part of their legacy that they carry forward with this. And they were, for all intents and purposes, the cultural center of the world for centuries.
Yes. Yes.
They're not now, but they were at one time. And I think that that needs to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And wow, what a wonderful, wonderful gift it gives. And what a wonderful healing that
yes,
gives.
Yes, yes, yes. There are a couple of stories in the book from something called the Freedom Space, which was an initiative, is an initiative that began in the middle of the Iraq War, in the middle of Baghdad, that brought Sunni and Shiite poets together
mm-hmm.
to recite poems together. Initially, they thought it would be a friendly competition, but by the end, it was excuse me, a reunion among these people who didn't know each other, of course, but suddenly found they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movement that has spread like wildfire throughout Baghdad and the surrounding areas, and thousands, literally thousands of people gather for these big poetry events that bring all factions together.
Right. And what's nice is that it's not gender specific.
Exactly.
The women are invited in right along with the men. There is this equality no matter what group you come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's done under a tent from what you share in your book. This is fabulous information. I think there ought to be one of these in every community.
Absolutely, yes.
We'd be so busy enjoying each other and listening instead of trying to figure out how we can do one up or go to war or do all of this ridiculous nonsense that we do. But this has been started, and somebody did try to undo it, but the people were so hungry for it. I mean, think of these people that are sitting in war zones, and they have no beauty about them whatsoever. And then to have poetry recited, there's hope. There is this love of freedom. I love what you put in here. This was said to you by a man by the name of Yamar. A few hours of poetic magic brought the group of people together. We felt like one family with no differences. People are desperate for this kind of positive communication. What we see in every face, regardless of denomination, is absolute love and an aspiration for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful.
Yes. Yes.
That is awesome. I know, Kim, we are just about out of time here, so I wanted to be sure that my listeners were made aware of your website, and it is kimrosen.net. That's KimRosen.net. And Kim, in closing, what would you like to share with my audience?
Well, your voice, every single person's voice, is unique. It has your life wisdom inscribed in the sound of it. So when you find a poem you love, and you might have to work to find it, don't worry, you will find the poem that you love, and you read it out loud to yourself or to other people, you're giving a gift that is a healing in dimensions that we can't imagine. And so that's what I'd like to leave you with, is find a poem that speaks the language of your inner being and read it out loud to yourself, to other people, and give yourself the medicine of that poetry.
Kim, Saved by a Poem is your wonderful book. So many wonderful stories in it, as well as beautiful poetry. Go to her website, kimrosen.net, and I think that you'll add something to your life and to your space of experience that will just be absolutely marvelous. Donna Sebo here, Kim Rosen. It's been a delight having you as a guest. Your book, Saved by a Poem, is wonderful. I wish you tremendous success with it. Go to her website again, kimrosen.net. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and you're more than welcome to give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The toll-free worldwide telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I do want to remind you that if you have a story about the paranormal, a psychic experience that you would like to share with me, I am putting a book together. We're going to be working towards acquiring 100 stories, and perhaps you would like to have your story included. Whatever that experience might have been, whether it would have been seeing someone from the other side, having an astral projection involving telepathy, remote viewing, whatever your experience has been, I'd love to hear from you. So send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to put your contact information in, because I'm pretty sure the publishing house will want that. And or you could send it to me via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show at P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Also, I want to thank those of you that tuned into the show last night, darkmatters.com, with Don Eckert. We had a wonderful time, and I understand that the last 20 minutes of the show, we did a two-hour program together, and this was on cyberstationusa.com. But you can go to his blog, which is darkmatters.com, and you'll find all of the connecting factors, and if you want to listen to the show, the interview that was done, I think you'll find it very interesting, and you will be able to get it out of his archive. So I wanted to be sure to let you know about that. And then we are going to be doing, or I am going to be doing, I should say, a program, and let me get my information together here, on the 27th of this month, and it's going to be an interview with James Lowe. It's 30 minutes. It will be taped, but it will be available for listening on the, KJAG Radio on Sunday the 31st. They will be playing it, so there's going to be a 30-minute interview done there. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that, and for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, we are going to be announcing shortly all of the wonderful details about the upcoming Pacific Northwest Women's Show. I've been participating in this for a number of years, and oh, it is so exciting. I am going to be hosting the Girl Talk stage on Friday. The show is the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th, and wow, am I going to have a terrific lineup of gals that are going to be speaking. We're going to be talking about business, animal communication. We'll be talking about healing, so it is going to be terrific. It's going to be 3 solid hours. I'm going to have 6 different speakers, and I'm really, really excited about this. So mark that weekend on your calendar. More information will be coming out. Also, in my newsletter on February the 1st, I'll be having all of those details available to you, times of the show, all kinds of good things, so you'll be able to keep up to date. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. I love it when crooks get caught. Don't you feel the same way? Well, this is a story that I thought was just absolutely marvelous. It takes place in Austin, Texas, and I just thought it was priceless when I came across this one. I thought this would be fun to share with you. It's on March 11, 1977. This was in Austin, Texas, like I said. There were burglars that broke into the home of a couple, David Connor and Nancy Hart. Vincent Johnson was the name of one of the burglars. He was 25 years old at the time, and Frazier Black, who was 30 years old. They decided they were going to help themselves to 2 color television sets and also the checkbooks of this couple that they had left at home. Now, they didn't realize, obviously, this couple, because they were at work at the time, what was going on. So these crooks decided they were really going to be clever, and they wrote out a check from David Connor to Nancy Hart for $200. They used one of Nancy's personal deposit slips and then went off to the bank. They approached the teller and told her that they wanted to put half of the money into Nancy's account and to get the rest in cash. Well, the teller was looking at them, and she was dumbfounded. Why? She's Nancy Hart. Right. It's her deposit slip. She recognized her husband's stolen checkbook and was able to notify the security personnel at the bank, who managed to keep the duo, this real intelligent pair, there until the police arrived. And the forgery detective who was booking them said, "It was a 1 in a million chance occurrence. If I never solve another case, this one makes it worth it." So I just thought I would share it with you. Sometimes people think they're being so smart, all for $100. Very, very interesting stuff. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Because Kim was on and we were talking about poetry, there was a poem that she put in her book, and I'm going through the pages right now. Here we go. I found it. Or I thought I found it, but it's by Walt Whitman. And, of course, he is so renowned for his wonderful way with words. And here we go. I found it, I think. No, that's not it. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. This is one. I can't find his. I thought I'd put a tag on it so that I could locate it real quickly, but I tabbed so many things in her book. This one I really enjoyed. It's called A Summer Day. And, oh, I know we're in the middle of winter, but what's a little sunshine going to do? It's going to make you feel a lot warmer, isn't it? This is written by Mary Oliver, and I wanted to share it with you today. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who's flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down onto the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What a great question. Mary Oliver wrote that poem. Poetry has a way of just sort of weaving itself into you. It's almost the way fog will come into an environment and it just fills all of the spaces with something that otherwise seems to be open and empty. And I think when we can give ourselves the opportunity to explore that, when we can curl up with a good book and read and we think, it really can change your life. How often do we give ourselves the gift of communication with ourselves? That's what poetry can do. And I really like Kim's book. And by the way, I neglected to mention when I was chatting with her that there is a CD that comes with her book that I think you would enjoy tremendously. But I did want to share that poem with you. Well, give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Telephone number 888-815-9756. There are so many things that we have to deal with day in and day out. We're told we've got to take care of ourselves. We hear on the news about this being toxic or that being toxic. And I know, I have just a plethora of materials that cross my desk. Well, I got some information from the Consumer Report, and I really thought that you might be interested in some of these details. The leading cause of acute liver disease in the United States. Now, this is rising. This is not diminishing. And you might say, well, usually it's hepatitis, which is caused by alcohol. But you know what? It is not that at all. It's a primary ingredient that's in many, many over-the-counter products. It's acetaminophen. That's a mouthful, believe me. It's spelled acetaminophen. So you need to be aware that when you take products that have that component in it, it can create problems. Why? Because the liver is your filtering system. It's the one that deals with the toxins along with some of the other organs, but it really is a phenomenal organ. So Consumer Reports said, many common medications, even when taken as directed, can cause or worsen an alarming number of diseases ranging from glaucoma to heart disease. Ibuprofen, which can be an Advil, Motrin IB, naproxen, which can be an Aleve, can raise someone's blood pressure and possibly harm the stomach, liver, and kidney if used long term. Heartburn drugs like Tagamet HB, Pepcid AC, Zantac 75, Prilosec OTC can cause vitamin B12 depletion. So they offered five safety tips, which I think are good. Avoid remedies that contain multiple ingredients. You may not need all of the ingredients, and they can raise your risk of side effects. Choose by active ingredient, not brand name. You'll avoid getting the wrong ingredient or unnecessary ones. And if you have symptoms that are persisting, stop the drug and call the doctor. You could be masking or mistreating a serious underlying problem or becoming dependent on what you're taking. And if you have a particular physical condition or a chronic disease, you need to ask about precautions. Talk to your pharmacist as well as your physician. The pharmacist is more chemically educated than the physician is. So these are all little things that are good tips. Keep them in mind. You have this amazing, amazing living chassis called your body. Take care of it. It'll take care of you. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. If you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. Have a pad of paper and a pen handy. I got a good recipe for you. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. When the temps drop, are you like me and you want something that's going to be sort of stick to your ribs, and the idea of sticking and look, you know, getting together with a salad, you look at it and go, I don't think so. I think I want some good chili, or I want a good stew, something like that. Well, I came across this recipe, chicken and white bean chili, and I really enjoy seasoning, but this has a color that in it from corn that appeals to the eye, but I think more than anything else, it's just going to satisfy those taste buds, and it's a good source of protein, and I bet your family would enjoy it too. And not only that, if you're like me, when you cook up a batch of soup or you have chili or something like this, you make enough where you are going to have leftovers. And you can put them in containers and put them in the freezer. I just yanked something out of the freezer today because I knew my schedule was going to be so busy that I didn't want to be bothered with cooking. And I just take it out and I put it at room temperature, and then it's ready to go in a pot and heat it up on the stove. Sometimes I put it in the microwave if I'm really in a hurry. But things like this really, really actually get better when they're in the freezer for a while. It's like the flavors mellow out. So here we go. So if you've got that pad of paper and pen, this is chicken and white bean chili, and it all goes in one pot. Now, what you want is 2 pounds of boneless chicken meat, or if you want turkey. Turkey has a different consistency to it, though, so it's your taste buds that will determine it. But I would say my preference would be chicken, and you could use chicken thighs if you want, or if you want chicken breasts, whatever is your favorite part of the chicken. And maybe mix dark and white, whatever is your preference. But you want to cut the meat up. You're going to need 2 pounds of it. You want to cut it up into 1-inch pieces. Then you want to have a package of your favorite chili seasoning mix Or if you're like me, you're going to throw in your own favorite seasonings. You're going to make your own. That's what I do. But you can already get it prepackaged. If one of those people where you don't like to fool around with stuff, just get a package from the grocery store, your favorite chili seasoning mix. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of oil, and you need 1 small red onion chopped. Now, if you don't have a red onion, use a white onion. Nobody will care. And then you have a small green pepper. You want to chop that up. And I'd recommend, depending on what you prefer, sort of a finer chop rather than a great big chunk, because if your kids like it, that is going to make it easier to spoon it up. Anyway, 2 cloves of fresh garlic. You want to chop that up nice and fine. And if you don't have the fresh, remember you can always use dried, but the fresh is going to give a better flavor. Also, you're going to need 1 can of diced tomatoes with jalapenos in them. Oh, that's so good. 1 can of diced tomatoes with jalapenos, and that's about a 14.5-ounce can. You're going to need a can of tomato paste, a 6-ounce can of tomato paste. You're going to need 2 cans of cannellini beans. Those are those little white beans. 2 cans of that, 15 ounces each. And they recommend that you rinse them and you drain them. Then you need a can of Mexicorn, and you want to drain that. And then you need 1.5 teaspoons of sugar. Now, you don't have to put that in if you don't want to. You don't have to put that in if you don't want to. But it's going to give just that little bit of extra blend. 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt. 1/2 cup of fresh cilantro, 1/2 cup of fresh cilantro, and you want to chop that up. And then, of course, you want to have tortilla chips on the side. You may want to have a little bit of sliced avocado. You can always have condiments, but you can figure out what else you want with it. This is how you do it. So simple. You want to toss your chicken with your chili seasoning mix, and you want to put it to the side. Then in a nice pot, you want to heat the oil over medium-high heat. You want to put in the chicken that you've put into the seasonings, and you want to put it in batches, and you cook it, and you keep turning it, but you don't want it to get real brown. When it's starting to get that golden color, you want to make sure that it's not totally cooked through. That's going to take you about 5 to 7 minutes, and then you want to take it out of the pot, and you want to put it on a plate. Now, into the pot that you just used for the chicken, you want to add your onion, your peppers, your garlic, and you want to cook them over medium heat, stirring occasionally. It's going to take you about 5 minutes. Add the remaining chili mix that's left, or throw in some extra seasonings if you want a little bit more heat. And you cook, stirring about a minute. Add your tomatoes with the juice, and you want to be sure you scrape the browned bits from the bottom of your pot. Then take 2 cups of water, your tomato paste, blend them together. Pour it into the pot. Add your beans, corn, the sugar, the salt, and the chicken all together. Give it a stir. Bring it to a simmer, not boiling, but to a simmer. Cover it up. Keep the heat really low. Cook it until the chicken is cooked through, which will take about 20 minutes. Now, if you wanted to put this in a crock pot, it would be perfect. You could just put everything in the crock pot, and it would be done. If you said, you know, go off to work, you know, the browning of the chicken, if you didn't have time to brown the chicken, well, okay. Just put it all in the pot. Put everything in the pot. And it'll be different than you're cooking it on the top of the stove. But then it's not going to burn on you either. You're going to have it in that crock pot. All those flavors will come together. So either way, this is a recipe that could be used for a crock pot. You could have it all set up. Do it the night before, put it in the crock pot, keep it on low, and you have it all ready for yourself, your family, when you come home from work. Aren't recipes wonderful? You can do so many adaptations and do so many wonderful, wonderful things. And I think crock pots are just the gift from the gods. They are absolutely wonderful in the kitchen. Well, tomorrow we have got a wonderful guest. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ed Klein. Who were you in a past life? Do you believe in reincarnation? If you do, I think you'll find Dr. Klein fascinating. If you don't, I think you're going to find Dr. Klein fascinating. And then next week, we've got a great lineup of people. Jan Denise, we're going to be talking about innately good. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be interviewing Christopher Lewis, a woman that I have such an admiration for. She was and still is a Hollywood legend, Loretta Young. And her book is titled Forever Young, The Life, Loves, and Enduring Faith of a Hollywood Legend, Loretta Young. This is a powerful story. Contactees, we're going to be talking about extraterrestrials. Nick Redfern next Wednesday, Workplace Evolution with Gail Gregory, and the power of your child's imagination. Oh, we just get such neat people on the show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. So glad you could be with me today. We'll be here same time, same place, right here on BBS. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.